Right, this is the Mountain Bike Podcast presented by GMBN. And this time it's time for the first round of the Cross Country World Cup over in Albstadt in Germany. And I've got a co-host in this week, an expert in cross country, Oliver James Beckinsale. I've looked at your Wikipedia page, Ollie.
Oh, cheers, mate. So needs a bit of an update.
Yeah, so you raced World Cups a long time.
Yep.
You raced Commonwealth Games, you raced three times the Olympic Games for the British team. What would you say is your result you're most proud of racing cross country?
Like I said, I did three Olympics, but probably my proudest is a couple of top 10s at World Champs.
Yeah.
So when I was racing, I did it 16 years full time, but I was a top 10 guy at best.
Yeah.
And actually, the World Champs is harder than the Olympics.
Right.
You know, it's a bigger field.
Yeah,
You've got 12 Swiss guys, not three, that sort of stuff.
Okay, yeah, and I've thought about that.
Yeah, so it's actually a tougher race,
bizarrely.
So I had two top 10s in my time. And a couple of Euro 6. So those, like, you know, really racing with the what I would call the big boys. I never put myself in that league with your Absalons and Sousas.
Yeah.
But on those days, I was with them in the
right. And those are the guys that were winning back.
They were winning back then, yeah. They were the boys. So I was, you know, I could get in the mix with them on a good day. And, you know,
nice.
Top 10, a World Cup sort of race was my thing.
Yeah, serious results. So what have you been doing since you retired from racing?
So I stopped racing 6 years ago now. I tried to go to London Olympics. That didn't happen. I had a really bad injury a year before.
Right.
So that kind of took me out, but I kept racing for a couple of years afterwards.
Yeah.
I wasn't done quite yet.
Yeah.
So I got back, did that for a little bit. And then since then, got a bike shop in Bristol, BW Cycling. And then I've got a coaching business as well. So a bit of both.
Yeah, it's cool. So, I've been over there. Of course I came to.
Yeah, we got you ready for your Enduro.
Yeah, I have to apologize about that. Didn't do the work that I was prescribed, I'm afraid.
Yeah, but yeah, well, we found out where you're at, didn't we?
Yeah, not as good as I used to be. So yeah, it's a bit of an unusual, not unusual, but different to a lot of bike shops where you've got training that takes place at the same place. You can bring your bike along, get that fixed, but also get some proper, you know, work from you guys there.
Yeah, it's a bit different. Like I say, it's more of a cycling centre, we call it. We do everything, road, mountain bike, triathlon, a bit of all sorts, really.
And you've been racing half Ironmans recently.
Oh God, don't remind me of that. It's bloody awful. But yeah, the bit of that, you know, I don't want to race mountain bikes again properly, but
yeah.
I still, you know, I did a cross race in the winter. I got a 2-day gravel race, Gripfest, nice. In my last month. So just keep fit and means I can drink a bit of wine on the weekends.
Is that, do you don't want to race mountain bikes? Is that because you feel like it's never going to be as good as it was?
Yeah. No, I can do other things. And
yeah.
I kind of like can hide a little bit. I don't mind taking a kicking.
Yeah.
Basically, my whole career, I got my head kicked in every weekend. So I don't mind it now.
A lot of similarities between me and you.
Yeah, we're pretty much the same, right? Just different disciplines.
Yeah, I was sort of top 10 on my very good days, but few and far between. And now I don't mind. I'll race mountain bike stuff because I know I could do it. I used to be able to do it. And now I don't mind getting beaten, to be honest.
Yeah.
My pride has disappeared a long time
ago. No, I'm okay with the pride bit, but it's just nice doing a good job. And mountain bike, well, cross country racing is so harsh.
Yeah.
You're right on your threshold for an hour and a half. And if you're not on it, fitness-wise, it's actually not a lot of fun.
And has it, it's got a bit shorter, has it, since you raced? Or is it
massive changes. Yeah. Really, really big. So we go, it's only, if we look at Olympics, for example, 2008 was Beijing. We were racing, the winner was 2.25 hours.
Really?
Big lap. I mean, it was getting more technical then.
Yeah.
But it used to be kind of 25-minute laps. With a couple of technical features.
Yeah.
And because you've got a bigger lap, you've got bigger climbs.
Yeah.
Now it's got smaller laps, smaller climbs, more tech.
Yep.
So the kind of the days when, I mean, for me, it changed for the worse, personally.
Right, yeah.
Not an opinion, but for me as a rider.
Yeah.
So I was a climber. I'm a mountain biking climber. So big, long climbs.
Yeah, okay.
I wasn't the best in the field technically. So a couple of tech sections and big climbs is cool. When it started going really tech, but short climbs, I was at a disadvantage, and guys like your Shooters and Jan Antonio Hermida, those boys were then, you know, they're uphill sprinters, mega on the tech, it's better for them.
Big riders now, you see, look at someone, Vanderpool's a big guy, but like all muscly, big, strong riders, I think, compared to...
Yeah, they're more athletic. So before they used to look like road riders, you know, less upper body, and, you know, they had core, but no arms really. Now these guys can, you know, they look pretty strong.
So Albstadt, there was a bit of chat coming in. Anton Cooper had put on his Instagram about them mellowing out the course, putting lots of hard pat, making it wider. I mean, there was some of that, but watching the race on Sunday, especially when the men's race kicked off and then the rain happened, it still looked pretty technical to me.
Yeah, I mean, it's steep hillsides on that course. It's one of the steeper well, more of the more climbing-y courses than the steep climbs. So you've got steep fall-line descents as well.
Yeah, right.
And last year they had a lot of problems, people trying to get around. So it became a bit more bike park orientated, and that's what the people were moaning about. But yeah, no, it obviously rained cross-country day and caused a bit of chaos.
So did you have any, who would be your favourites coming into the season, men and women?
Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of talk, the big talk, Nino Schuss has been so dominant for so long.
Yeah.
And not just dominant, it's on the variety of courses, which I think is what makes him so amazing, really.
Yeah.
And then obviously, André van der Poel, you know, Matthew van der Poel, confused with his dad, with Matthew van der Poel. He's, unbelievable.
He's had a really strong, I mean, I would say pre-season, but it's not really pre-season.
Yeah, I mean, he won a road classic. You know?
Yeah.
There's not many guys that do that or ever done, well, no one's ever done that.
I think Warner said 30-something crosswinds this year alone.
Yeah, so he's had his best cross season.
Okay.
And then while most guys now are sitting on a beach,
you
know, he's decided to then race half a road season before he starts racing a mountain bike season. And that road season, he was winning, I mean, the biggest races in the world.
So, there was a bit of kerfuffle from the roadies saying, right, it's time to give up on the mountain biking and go road full time.
Yeah.
And it's great to see from my perspective as a mountain biker, see him go, no, this is, I'm racing mountain bikes.
Yeah, I think it's great that he's doing all three. He's got a big, you know, from what I read, Tokyo is a big thing for him. And he's, you know, and he wants to get an Olympic gold.
Yeah.
And he's seen that he's identified it in the mountain bike. That's his opportunity to do it. And obviously the road is far more variables than cross riding. And cross riding is not in a mountain bike. There's more, too many. He can guarantee if he's on good shape, he's got a good chance of winning. You know, it's less team support, for example. So, but yeah, no, he's giving it a good shot. And I think it adds, you know, he's a guy that won one of the biggest road races in the world a month ago.
Yeah.
But he didn't win on Sunday.
Wow. So we'll get to that. But it does bring a lot of eyes, maybe from the road world to the mountain bike world as well.
Yeah,
which
I think
great.
I think in general, a lot of guys have maybe looked down on mountain bike, cross country a little bit.
Yeah.
From a fitness point of view. Okay. And road is the biggest sport, the Tour de France, in, you know, is the pinnacle of kind of fitness cycling. Mm. So they've maybe looked down. I think it puts it into perspective at the bit that these guys are world class and could compete on. They're as good as, he shows that he's, you know, cross, mountain bike, road. If you're going to win in one of those, you could win in another.
We've seen Langvad and Yolande Neff on the road as well.
Yeah, and Matthias Flückiger. He did Tour of Romandy, World Tour race for Swiss team. That's a week stage race a few weeks ago.
Right.
But mountain bikers have always done road racing, not to the same degree as Van der Poel, but have always raced on
the road. We've seen, people go to the road, people like Cadel Evans,
stands
out. We'll get into the results in a minute, but it's interesting to see that how the road worked for some riders, maybe not for others in the pre-season. But
yeah.
Some big team changes before this year. Kate Courtney went over to join that Scots-Ram team, super strong team this year with Lars Foster and Nino coming off their Cape Epic win. Yolande Neff moved over to Trek Factory, a really strong women's team there, Emily Batty.
Yeah, it's a surprise, that one,
Lars Foster, Scots-Ram. Florian Vogel went over to KMC Ecoy Orbea. And the under-23 world champ, Alan Hatherley, joined Specialized. It's a few big...
Yeah, big changes at the top.
Did you see, actually, you know, Bart Brenches' team, CSD Sun, is sponsored by Bafang, an e-bike motor. I thought that was unusual.
Yeah, I think he's been racing a few.
Right.
Yeah. Bart's getting a little old, so maybe he needs a bit of help. He'll kick my ass when he sees me.
Yeah, right. Interesting, we've got the short track on the Friday and the big XCO race on the Sunday.
Yep.
But you have to ride the same bike.
Yeah, yeah.
So... we saw full suspension bikes, Langvad rode one. Most other people were on hardtails, especially the women's, actually. Jordan Saru was riding that BMC full suspension bike, the four-stroke. Saw drop post. We saw Neff, Yolande Neff and...
Yeah, loads of droppers.
Kate Courtney, both running those SRAM Access wireless posts.
Yeah.
Looking good as well. Matthias Flückiger using one. So it was tale of two races, definitely, the weekend. Sort of short track, nice and pretty dry and fast, obviously, 20-minute short laps. And then Sunday, carnage for the men's race, at least.
Yeah, but like I say, the steep climbs in the event, it kind of, it's a temptation to go hardtail again.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, I think the short track is generally, if you're going to pick a bike, you'd always go hardtail, given the choice, I think.
Right, okay. Injuries pre-season, Pauline Ferrand-Prevot. She was racing, but she had surgery in January. So obviously,
yeah, pretty amazing to be back.
Yeah.
And in the mix for a decent place.
Yeah.
Considering what she's had in the winter. So.
Maya Wojcicki was sick, not racing. Alessandra Keller, did you see that? She crashed with Yolanda Neff was it a couple of weeks ago and broke both her wrists.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Actually, on Instagram, blame Neff for it.
Oh.
I think Neff said it was a poor course design that meant they came together in a corner. But yeah. Interesting to see that. Sam Gaze has been trying to get ready for season, but he had that crash at Cape Epic. So he's pulled the plug on the first World Cups at least, he says.
Yeah.
Was that you were saying it was a
concussion? I think it was a concussion I heard, yeah, in Cape Epic. So that's a kind of, I'm sure you've had one, as have I. And
yeah.
You can't rush these things and it takes as long as it takes, so...
Funny injuries. I know I slept a lot after the last big concussion I had, so I definitely wouldn't be in any shape for racing.
No, me neither.
Alpstadt as well is the venue for the next year's World Champs. Mm. So interesting to see how these results maybe could tell us what's going to go on next year. The weather, it was cold and dry for the short track, but the wet weather was really forecast and it did rain heavily before Sunday and then rained heavily during the men's race. Previous winners last year, XCC, was Annika Langvad, who pretty much won all of them, actually.
Yeah.
Matthew Van Der Poel, and then Yolanda Neff won the XCO, and Nino Schurter XCO last year.
Yeah.
Pre-season, Langvad had been racing some road as well, as we said.
Yeah.
And Neff, yeah, said that already. Okay, so on to the short track. 20-minute race, 8 short laps, not much climbing.
No, just a couple of kicks, wasn't it? So... pretty yeah. fast circuit.
So it gives you a start placement on the first, you get the first two rows for XCO are determined by.
Yeah.
Does that make a big difference on
Huge.
Sunday?
Yeah. And that's made a bigger difference. We mentioned before about the courses getting a little shorter. So it's got more intense. So there's more single track involved. And the gridding is massive. I mean, you can sometimes take, as a younger rider, or if you've had a bad injury, it can sometimes take you 2 seasons
right.
to work back to a gridding.
Why?
And if you don't get that gridding in place, you know, if you're going to be in any mix for a podium, top 3 rows, I mean, even if 20 or 30 back, you waste so much energy. You get around the first lap, time down.
Yeah.
But it's the energy you have to get to move forward, constant acceleration, so you're losing out all the time.
There was 140 men, actually, in the XCO race in the Sunday.
Yeah.
On that start lap, it was strung out, like probably a couple hundred metres just on that first grassy bit.
Yeah.
So short track, women's, I'm guessing, you know, Langvad would always be the favourite for that. With Keller was the only other person to win one last year in the women's, and she was not racing, with 2 broken wrists, of course. But Neff went hard early on with Sterneman, Courtney, Benko and Brandau. Langvad at the back of the group. There's a group of maybe 15 for 6 laps. And it sort of split into a couple of groups. And we saw a lot of drafting. Does that help on the short track?
On the short track, massively, yeah. Obviously you're saving energy by draft, but it's just that bit of recovery.
Right.
So on that course, you went down a long start-finish straight, where if you sat in the wheels of a group there, you've maybe got 20, 30 seconds where you're below your threshold or working hard.
Okay, yeah.
And then when you kick into that next climb, you're then turning it into easy and hard, almost like an interval session.
Right.
Whereas if you're going the whole way down, it's almost like you're going to be reducing a time trial effort. So you're going to go slower overall. So yeah, there's a lot of tactics in that one.
Burning up. Pretty fast downhill section as well. So not exactly places to recover, but also you know, technical enough.
It looks slightly less technical than some of the ones I've saw last year. So actually, you could just sit in for a bit. Whereas with more tech, you want to get closer to the front a bit, really.
Right, yeah. So there's a high pace from Brandau. Neff took the lead after the tarmac, and then Courtney went. Neff, did you see Neff try that different line coming down the hill, but sort of messed it up a little bit, and that left Kate Courtney.
Yeah.
Take the win.
Yeah, Courtney looked smooth, confident. Yeah, like, just nailed it, really.
Really strong.
Yeah. Neff, I mean, it's her riding style. She spins a high gear and she's pretty dynamic on the bike, but she looked more stressed all race, whereas Absolutely. Courtney just sat there and, it looked like she'd been, considering it's the first one she's won, but she was riding like someone that's won 20 of them. You know,
she's wearing those rainbow stripes. It seems to definitely, she's turned it on this year.
Yeah, without a doubt.
So Kate Courtney, Scott Thram, took those 125 points. So big points as well for the overall. It's half as many points as the XCO, but still, that is going to seriously add up.
Yeah, I think obviously the guys, the UCI have given it a lot of points for make everyone take it seriously.
Yeah.
You know, they've tried this thing before with trying to get a gridding race. So yeah. Years ago, they tried to make, we had to do a time trial.
Yeah.
The day before.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and then they need to make it a serious thing. Otherwise, in the same way seeding for downhill, if you make it big enough with enough points, then...
And from a spectator's point of view, I love it. It's great to
have. Mint, yeah.
Friday
yeah.
afternoon, I can go home and watch a really good race. It's only 20 minutes long, but a really exciting race. But is that enough time for them to recover from the Friday to the Sunday?
It's not ideal for none of them that they want. You know, if you ask them, like, would you like to do it? They're not in a rush. You know, I don't think it suits anyone's preparation.
But they're not really able to hold back on it because if you're
looking
aim. For the overall, you've got to be in there.
I think there's some guys that are riding it smart.
Right, okay.
You know, so some guys want to win it. You know, if you're going for the overall, you've got to fight out. But there's some guys, you know, you maybe see Mateusz Flückiger, he was happy, you know, if I'm going to get a front row start, then I can back off a little bit. And that you could maybe ride for a position, not for a win, I think, if you had good enough legs.
Right. You land an F2nd, Trek Factory Racing. Katrin Sterneman, 3rd, Thomas RN Swiss Bike Team. Linda Indegand, 4th, Superior Team. And Langvad, 5th. She actually got dropped on the sprint, I noticed it. And that's the first time
I've... Yeah, she was swinging a bit, wasn't she? So.
Unusual to see, probably the strongest female racer.
Yeah, probably signs that maybe, I don't know, maybe wasn't feeling great or health or something.
Yeah. On to the men's race. Nino's never won a short track race so far.
Oh, well.
Steve Vanderpool met this different start this year, so that it's like Formula One. It's a red light that turns to green, and he was waiting for a gun and apparently completely missed the start and had to work quite hard.
Amateur.
He's thinking of what he's doing by now. Avancini went hard, as did Nino. Cape Epic rivals, actually. I seem to remember there being a bit of chat on Instagram between the two at Cape Epic. I can't remember what it was, but yeah, no love lost, I don't think, between those two. The race got strung out a little bit. Vanderpool moved up and then attacked on lap 7, Nino responding, and Avancini, actually. It was a group of 3.
When he went?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah, full turbo when he went then.
Yeah, they regrouped on the last lap, and then Lars Foster onto the lead on the last climb, went hard on the downhill, and Vanderpool then sprinted to catch back up, take the win.
Yeah.
He thought, when it comes down to a sprint, is there anyone going to beat Vanderpool?
Not anyone that can ride that fast for 20 minutes.
Yeah, serious racing. And then Lars Foster came 2nd on Scott's Ram, of course.
Yeah, he looked good.
Yeah, definitely. He's obviously had a really strong pre-season. Nino 3rd, Maxim Rott and Henry Camtini, the 2 Candel teammates, 4th and 5th for XCC. Get some good points then. So, all right, on to the Sunday, XCO race. It's a 4 kilometre race with 4.1. They're all about that now, I think, aren't they?
Yeah, short laps, yeah.
They said it was course for climbers, so 2 decent-sized climbs on that.
Yeah, and steep too. It's pretty rare you see these guys in their first gears these days. And they
really,
were,
yeah.
Yeah, they were in it, so.
Yeah. Fast track, short recovery time, rocky in bits, wide and hard pack. There was that climb with the 2 lines on. We saw a few people taking different routes up there, actually. And the North Shore, which, for me, looked okay in the dry, but when it came to the men's race in the afternoon, it started to look super sketchy.
Yeah, and you could see there was quite a big gap on the sides. So on the climb, there was one there where you came up a forest track, swung onto it.
Yeah.
But you could see whether there was almost like 10, 20 centimetres in places of a gap between the wood and then the chicken wire in the middle.
Yeah.
And if you caught that, it was slick as you like.
A lot of people spinning up.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially when you're getting tired, you know, you're not quite, you've just done a big threshold climb before it. So you're not quite on the ball. Then you hop up and it all looks basic until you're breathing really hard. And then all these things become...
I looked surprisingly techie, actually, in the men's race. There was people, someone messed it up, and then there's 10 people having to get off their bikes almost to get up it. And it was pretty decisive, I think, in the women's race. Well, Kate Courtney went out hard from the start.
Yeah, yeah.
She did crash on that North Shore, actually.
Hard, yeah.
So there was like that one bit where it was a right-hand corner, and it was a North Shore turn that had a drop-off to dirt halfway through.
Yeah, you had to literally swing it.
Yeah.
Drop off, swing it. It was, yeah.
You land an F. Crashed, actually. I missed that one. Didn't see that.
That was on the kind of first descent.
Okay.
The kind of, you know, slick, fast one.
Yeah.
Where Flückiger crashed last year. It was just a corner before.
Right, okay.
But she was dropped by Courtney on the climb.
Yeah.
So she was taking risks.
Yolanda Neff, she looked really good on the downhills, dropping that post and going fast, but ultimately not fast enough, really.
Yeah, she was better once she got dropped. You know, it's like, you know, when you're trying to quite cross country, if you're under pressure on the climbs, you then trying too hard on the descents to get, you know, close 4 or 5 meters. Yeah. And that's when you just make some stupid mistakes. Sometimes you're better off just being in your own rhythm.
Anne Tiber, she was running second, had a big crash, looked painful.
That. Yeah, same place as Courtney.
Yeah.
But went down, properly rolled over. Yeah, she was lucky to, you know, not break a bike. So that took a fair few bounces before it stopped.
Yeah, and I don't want to say it ruined her race, but she was looking good for second place and she dropped, yeah.
Yeah, I think she was fourth, blowing a bit, hence why you're more likely to have a crash. But yeah, no, it took her out of a rhythm, really. So yeah, it was a shame.
But there was no beating Kate Courtney. She looked really strong.
Oh,
a 1-1 at the first round of the year. Her best result last year, well, it was her first elite year last year. I think it was seventh of her best result.
So yeah, her world champs result, it was completely different race to how she won yesterday.
Right.
So when she won the Worlds last year, she was an underdog. No one expected that. Yeah. And she came through later in the race and was almost surprised herself. That race yesterday, she was completely in control of that. You know, she had one off. Yeah. Which, you know, happens, but she was on it the whole race. Super controlled, smooth.
I saw a funny thing on Instagram, actually. She put someone up saying, perfect doesn't have to mean perfect. And she's covered in mud and water. I was like, it's true, you can still win a race and crash. And
yeah, she had the gap, so, but on the climbs, and, you know, it's things like, because she had a nice gap and she was in control, she had her pace, her lines, down the far start-finish straight, she wasn't chasing. She had time to have a little snack, and everything was just all super smooth.
Yeah, really powerful. Yolanda Neff did finish second for Trek. Jana Balamoina worked really hard to come up to third.
Yeah, she came up back strong, hey?
Yeah, Anna Taiba dropped down to fourth there. And Terpstra, Ghost, was on Ghost Factory Racing, was fifth.
Yeah.
Annika Langvad did not finish. Annie Last did not finish. I think she was speaking to her brother in the office. She had quite a good result on short track. I think she was 11th. And then, was sick on Sunday. So unfortunately... Yeah. Did not finish.
And then Emily Batty, she was...
Yeah, 28th.
Yeah, she had a... On the short track, she was off the pace, which is rare. You know, she's one of the favourites probably for podiums each week. She was off the pace in the short track and then in the race itself. And then that was partly, if you have a bad... She was a victim of, like I say, bad short track, bad gridding. Okay. You're on the back foot already.
Yeah.
So a poor race for her.
Yeah. And then we've got... The next round is next weekend, so... Potentially, if Annie's sick, that's not going to work. You know, not got long. You race XC on a Sunday, you got to race the next XEC on the Friday. Annie got to get to Czech Republic.
It's a tough turnaround. And you got a recce, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, yeah,
it's a really tough turnaround.
So back to back
World Cups.
Monday, you'd be doing a recovery ride. Well, yeah, or you'll be traveling, I suppose.
Yeah, traveling, recovery ride. Most guys will ride for a couple of hours at least.
And then practice is probably, when's that start? Wednesday or Thursday?
I think most people would probably stay off till Thursday.
Okay.
So you do your main, I would do my main practice Thursday.
Yeah.
Short track Friday is a bit of a, you know, opener for the week. So at least you can add that in. You want something to get yourself at race speed again.
Okay.
So you use that as that. And then Saturday, you've got to recover, really. Your legs are going to be pretty sore. So a lap, a bit of road, maybe.
It was good to see the Red Bull coverage again. It's been brilliant, as has been for Daniel. But they did like a, I think they called it a chatter show. And they had all the big riders there.
It was really cool.
Yeah. Good to see.
They've gone up a notch this year. The coverage was, amazing, yeah.
Okay, so on to the men's race. Did you see the start? It's super hard. It was really impressive. Nino and Matthew van der Poel, gaps appeared all over the place, actually, on that.
Oh, yeah, on the start loop, there was gaps. I mean, it's like only a quarter of a climb, 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And everyone was in bits already.
Yeah. And it started to rain a little bit. And the North Shore, to me, you know, there was all the chat before the race about how mellow the track may have got. And the North Shore, to me, looked horrible, to be honest. Sketchy and...
Yeah. And it was better... It was slippier for the women's. You know, obviously it rained big time lap one.
Yeah.
And that made it better. You know,
we've all
raced before. You know, if it's going to rain, you want it to rain, you know.
They talked about it on Red Bull as well. Actually, you could see the riders getting muddier and then getting cleaner as the rain washed track off. Clear almost.
Yeah, got
grippier. So Nino hasn't had a good pre-season compared to what we'd expect from Nino, especially in the rain. Some of those, the Swiss races have been really wet and he's struggled.
Yeah, I mean,
he
had a good one, the Swiss Cup the week before.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a hilly circuit, or reasonably hilly circuit, that. But yeah, he had a battle with Matthias Flückinger last week and won that one, but it was close.
Yeah. Lars Foster has had a good pre-season as well, actually. And he was up to second in the race. And then it looked like they were doing a team time trial for a little while, Nino and Lars. It looked sort of, for me, I was like, well, that's it. The race is done. Those boys
go get a cup of tea, yeah.
Yeah. But obviously, it was super early in the race, but they were teammates at Cape Epic and they were doing that all over again.
Yeah.
And do you think that really helps on the XCO race as well? Sort of slipstreaming and then just taking it into
On that course, there's patches of slipstreaming, especially down the start-finish.
Yeah.
But the main thing is just that momentum of keep one's pushing another, and you're working together. And you do that as more of a teammate, but you still do it anyway. If you had a good gap, you'd communicate. You know, if it was Flückinger and Schutter off the front, if they knew they had Van der Poel on the ropes and a gap,
they'd communicate.
They'd be like, right, we've got to work together on this.
Literally sort of flicking the elbow or saying, go on.
Talk about it. Yeah, we've got a gap. Let's get him out. Let's get him done. And then we'll race against ourselves later.
Did you see Van der Poel was leading the chasing group and looking over his shoulder a bit for help? And he did get it eventually, but...
Well, we saw the last couple of years, Nino Schutter going off like he's doing a short track on the first lap. Absolutely, smashing it tomorrow. And thinking he's not going to keep that going, but he does.
Yeah.
You know? But that's what he tried with the same sort of tactics. Van der Poel tried to follow, but didn't have it. So then, I think he gassed himself a bit. Yeah.
Do you think Foster eventually crashed? It was a simple corner, but super wet, of course. And just little crash, twisted his bars up. And then that was sort of the plan seemed to fall apart from there on, really, for those two boys.
Yeah, definitely. I think, tyre choice obviously makes a big difference. And people would have, the round there as well, especially, people would have been rolling the dice with tyre choice.
Yeah.
So the drag makes a big difference. But it's funny when you get that, especially cross country on those climbs, sometimes you can go a bit too knobbly.
Yeah.
And if it's not slick enough, the knobbles just end up sticking into the floor and are dead slow.
It's a difficult one to predict, really, isn't it? Because, you're then, it's rolling resistance versus grip, what do you need? And you don't know what the mud's going to be like, really, until it rained super hard for actually most of the race, and then the sun came out, and that can really mess things up again.
They're three different conditions during that race.
Yeah.
And therefore, you'd probably pick three different tyres at, different different laps.
So Foster crashed. Flückinger then overtook him. Van der Poel, 12th on lap one. So have you raced in conditions like that, Ollie? Like when it's really bad? Because I didn't know, some
yeah,
of the riders...
No, yeah, we've had it. Yeah, I mean, Leger's at World Cup this year. Yeah. We had one there, awful. And again, but it's when it changes, and especially when it's drying out. So it rained a lot that night and then it was drying. They'll get some feedback from the women's race. Some of them even go and get a lap in before their race.
Right.
Yeah, just to try and really get the conditions nailed. And then, but... You're going, a lot of them would have gone, well, I might put something grippy on the front, but gone for low tread on the back, thinking it was going to continue to dry out. And then, of course, when it flew down, the rain just came and then you'd be scuppered, really.
Yeah. What I find interesting, I know they try and make everything as light as possible, but like those little mud guards, I've got one, the little flap that goes underneath your crown and your forehead.
Yeah.
I think, especially when they're dumping their glasses because it's too wet to run them, I think that could make quite a big difference to how well you could see in those races, especially if you're on a group following.
Yeah, I'd be surprised guys weren't using that, to be honest. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think, what about full suspension? Do you think that'd help out in the mud?
I think when it's slippery like that, not so much. I think it's it's grip. I mean, the dropper, you see a lot of hardtails to dropper posts around there.
Yeah.
And I think that's a pretty good combination for that sort of climb. And especially with the dropper posts getting lighter.
Yeah.
I think you'll see more and more of them now.
Jordan Sarou, actually, a young French rider, was up at the front end of the race on the full suspension bike. I thought Flückinger's bike looked really small, actually. Looked super upright riding that bike compared to
Yeah, he's
some
got a weird position. Yeah, he's dead upright.
Yeah.
And he's a little guy anyway.
Yeah.
But he was... He rode awesome race.
So eventually they started to drop Nino. Really surprising to see that. Lars Foster crashed again. Bars completely twisted.
Yeah, he couldn't stay upright after a while, could he?
Yeah. And then it eventually had another big one, actually. Yeah. Did not finish.
It was funny. It was that type of course where you get it when you have one little off, then you're tight. It was that sort of like slippery and that North Shore stuff. If you're tight, then you go... The chance of going again in the next lap is pretty high, I think.
Grip's probably covered in mud, bars twisted. It's not a good combo, is it?
But you're just riding a bit scared.
Sore legs, sore knees from landing on them, and then you've got to crack on again. Pretty difficult. We saw Amatini come in for a front wheel change. I believe that was a puncture. Anton Cooper as well. His race was pretty much ruined. Two
front
punches.
Yeah,
there was a few flats, weren't there?
And then it was really Flückiger and Saru, really, up to the front of the race.
Yeah.
Working together. Eventually, Van der Poel sort of worked his way up to third. Florian Vogel, the veteran, up to fourth.
Yeah, he did a great ride. Yeah, really solid. And he was pushing on the front of that chase group for quite a while. You know, he rode a really solid race then.
Yeah, and then Nino was in that little group as well.
Yeah.
And to be honest, then I was thinking, I was expecting Nino to be fourth. You know, the best of the rest, really, of Vogel, Caro, Marot and Indegand. It didn't turn out like that.
Yeah. No, he didn't look, you know, whether it was a weather conditions or a tyre thing, but yeah, he was looking, for him, average. You know, he looked like everyone else in the group, you know.
Yeah.
His first lap looked like the old, you know, the really, really strong Nino and confident, but yeah, no, exactly. It was a...
I wonder if he went too hard as well on that very first sort of attack with that was his face, Foster, and if he paid the price for doing that.
Yeah, I mean, they look, when I first saw those guys racing yesterday, but when, you know, the first time you saw Nino doing that in a World Cup, you're like, nah, this ain't going to work. Yeah. You can't do 6-7 laps with a start like that.
Yeah.
But you can hold it.
Yeah.
But yeah, not yesterday.
So there you go. Matthias Flückiger took the win for Thomas Aaron Swiss Bike Team. His first World Cup win was last year at Mont Saint Anne. But he did have that massive crash just 2 years ago at Albstadt. I remember that one well. So,
oh, on the fast section, yeah. And it's fast and steep, yeah.
Right. Redemption for that. It took the win. Matthew Van Der Poel hunted down Saru, took second place for Corendon Circus, riding that canyon. Yeah, Jordan Saru third for Absolute Absalom. Titouan Corot, BMC, a guy that I raced last winter. Impressive riding skills. He should be smoking me, as you'd expect. But it was good to actually go ride with him and see how good those top cross-country races are.
Yeah, these new guys coming in, French guys, Swiss guys.
Yeah.
They're no slouches.
Florian Vogel, the old guy, KMC Eco Orbea in fifth place. Nino, sixth. Also talking about, obviously, Tokyo Olympics next year. We've got a lot of Swiss riders there that are trying to qualify for that Olympic team. It's got to be super difficult.
Yeah, there's loads of them. So, yeah, and they'll have three spots. So you've got to get all those, you know, 8-9 guys that can podium down to three places. Yeah, it's
and they're doing that this year, we think. It must be.
Yeah, I read that they were doing it this election is this year.
Yeah. Van der Poel actually said something about it on his Instagram as well, saying that he's happy that he's qualified already for Tokyo. Not so many strong Belgian riders, I guess, as Swiss and French. A lot of good French riders.
Yeah, French are having a good resurgence at the moment. They had a couple of strong guys, but then there was a gap to everybody else. But they've got a real bit of strength and depth now.
Yeah, some young riders coming through. Obviously, Absalon retired.
Yeah.
But some young boys there. Yaroslav Kolarvy did not finish.
Yeah, he seems to have drifted off since London.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know it's a long time ago now.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he hasn't been quite how he was those couple of years. So.
Right, he's on his own team as well, I think, this year, not on the main specialised team.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe he's, you know, going towards the end of his career, I suppose. So looking at the overall, Kate Courtney, a 1-1, taking full 375 points. Yolanda Neff, 2-2, 300 points. So that's pretty big already, 75 points. Anne Tauber, third place. Chloe Woodruff, actually, fourth. Jana Bellemoyne, fifth overall. Men's, Matthew Van Der Poel, actually, is leading, just ahead of Matthias Flückiger. So Flückiger got eighth in the short track.
Yeah, it's not right, see?
Yeah. Lost a few points there. Nino in third, 210 points. So compared to 325 and 305, those front two. Maxime Marot fourth and Jordan Saru fifth. We've got round two next week, Novo Mesto. What's that course like?
Oh, completely different. You know, it's chalk and cheese, really, to the race that's just gone. So short, steep climbs, but supernatural. You know, there's, I say super nice. They've added more and more rock features recently. Yeah. But a lot of climbs, a lot of routes. There's very little kind of forest, other than going through the stadium at the start. There's a lot of forest road through there. And then it's rooty climbs, steep, short kicks.
Yeah, right.
And a lot of technical descending, some natural, and some like big, big rock gardens, you know, that are rideable, obviously. But it's one of those things, again, when you've just done a climb or it's the last lap, and you're just starting to kind of blow up a bit and you're not thinking quite straight. They're the sort of ones that can really cash you out.
So obviously it's great to see the first race of the year to see what form people are in, but as far as sort of the best technical riders, What do you think? Landon F looks really good at the moment.
Yeah, she was one. And again, we said about the coverage being really good. They had some great little splits that were popping up.
Yeah.
And showing the climbs, but also the descents. And she was generally taking 4 or 5 seconds out of Courtney on each descent and then losing it on the climb.
It makes you wonder if maybe Courtney's going a bit steady because she's had a
Yeah, she's, she was in control.
Lead. Yeah.
But yeah, Neff's going good. Flückinger is generally known as, you know, he's a good descender. Bit sketch sometimes.
Yeah, big crashes.
Yeah, I mean, but you saw earlier on, Shooter was using his descending skills as well.
Yeah.
He's awesome on the descent, obviously.
He is really good, yeah.
But he was getting dropped on the climbs early doors, but getting back on the descents each time.
Yeah. So what about Nino? Did you see the pre-show that Warner and Bart did on Red Bull? He's saying that, you know, Warner was asking Nino about his main rivals for the year, and he's saying that, you know, there's people that could win a couple of races, like Matt is fucking good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Maybe wasn't so worried about the overall.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Flucken has won that race and is looking pretty good for the overall, whereas Nino only came sixth, which isn't that good for the overall.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to ask him the question now, eh?
Yeah. I mean, you can never count out Nino, of course, but apparently there were questions about his form coming into the season, and it's not looking great at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, and the race is coming up as well. The next race is a kind of one-off, really. It kind of, there's nothing else quite like Nova Mesta, I think.
Okay.
But then you're into a run of races that are altitude or medium altitude, and depending on how they set the courses out, but they all should be pretty climby.
Well, Andorra's the round after that, which is pretty high up. Who was it? Kirschbaum, I think, had a good ride.
Yes, so of course, he didn't have a great ride on the weekend. He was on the back foot, like Emily Batty a little bit, really.
Yeah, I'm trying to look at the
14th, maybe, something like that. He had a slow, a poor short track.
Yeah.
And then that leads to a poor gridding. So you stood on some of the climbs. So you've lost a minute on lap one, but you've lost that, let's say, that momentum.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, you try and get past people that are also trying to race and not letting you through, and then you get pissed off, and then you end up fighting. All this is wasting energy, which means when the track does clear, you're actually a bit more tired than you would have been.
Yeah, yeah, difficult. So that was Nino's worst result for a long time, really. He did have a mechanical last year, so dropped him. But
yeah, for a clean race, essentially, he was off the pace.
Yeah, it was really good last year, of course. Matthew Flückinger beat the hottest name in cycling right now, Matthew van der Poel, of course. He's got all the, not hype, you can't call it hype, but all the buzz around him because he has been so good. So for him to beat van der Poel and Nino must feel pretty good.
Yeah, but then you look at there's obviously climbing in that race, but it's steep climbing. Yeah. And you look at the size between the two guys.
Right.
You know, van der Poel's not a pure climber. You know, he's an all-rounder, I would have said.
Yeah.
He's a big boy. So, you know, on the really steep climbs, I think, you know, when it's something like next week, which is more power orientated, it would probably suit him more.
Mm. Yeah, can't wait to see it. And Kate Courtney's just looking super strong. I mean,
she smashed it.
Yeah. Again, her best was 8th last year. So coming into this season, she's obviously done a lot of work.
Yeah, read as well that one of the reasons for the change is, you know, you never know what happens with contracts and cash and all that sort of stuff. But one of her main changes was she said she wanted to be in Europe and work with Frischknecht and be alongside Shooter and guys like that.
Yeah, so the team manager is Thomas Frischknecht.
Yeah.
Obviously a huge amount of
Absolute
experience.
Absolute hitter, yeah.
His son raced, did quite well, actually.
Yeah, first time in the top 10.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's been a kind of 20th sort of guy for the last year. I mean, he's a young boy.
Yeah.
But yeah, for him to ride a top 10 round there yesterday was, that's a really all big step.
They were talking about it when Lars, Foster and Nino were out front and he was in the group behind, how he wouldn't work with them, obviously, to try and chase down those guys. I guess he'd just sit in and try
Being smooth. And I think the pressure's on to some extent because of his name, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
But then the pressure's off in the fact that he's not the key guy on the team.
Yeah.
You know, it's the Nino Shooter roadshow, and then he's just one of the guys there, so there's a bit less pressure in that respect.
We've seen it a bit, actually. Was it the Cape Epic last year where there was like an A and a B team for Scotsram, and they worked together really to sort of, they won it as well last year, Nino and his partner. I can't remember who it was last year. But it's funny, we're seeing that a bit more next year as well, where people are building a strong team, almost like a road team, where there's like domestic or whatever, to work with the main guys.
Yeah, and partly the overall as well. So the overall team result is quite a big deal.
Yeah.
So that's normally the top, it might have changed, but back when I was racing, it was the top 3 in each team per round. So you kind of want at least 4 people in each one. So I did a a year or 2 years with Giant when we won the World Cup 1 year. And I was kind of the third, fourth counter. So Bart Brenchins was the main man on the team.
Okay.
And a guy, Roald Paulison. And my job was really to keep getting third.
Paulison, did he not get busted? Or am I thinking of someone else?
I think he had a little bit of a time off. Don't know all the details. But yeah, I was the third guy. There was, you know, there's six of us on the team, but yeah. I was number three in quite a lot of races, and that was my job.
That's
good. Get as high as I could up in the rankings.
Is there a nice little bonus for that at the end of the year?
Yeah, it didn't do bad.
Nino saying, tough day at the office. This is on his Instagram. Not really happy about my performance for sick today. Started according to the plan. The race was hard, but the storm hit us. So they did intend to go out, by the sounds of it, super hard at the start, him and Foster.
Yeah.
And it didn't work out.
Yeah, like you say, I mean, you don't know what tyre choice people are running. People take some big risks, you know, I've made. If I look at some of the races I did, sometimes I took big risks and got it right.
Yeah.
And then you think you're the one. And then sometimes you make some bad choices and you literally, you know, you do not finish the race. So
yeah,
they might have rolled the dice, I don't know. But yeah, I mean, or it could just be the cold weather or actually his form is. We'll see next week, I think.
Exactly. Exciting times. We're straight into Novo Mesto next week. And then there's a little bit of a break actually before Andorra. I think Andorra is 6th and 7th of July. Then Leger, then Val d'Isol, Lenzerheide, and then the new one at Snowshoe. You ever race there?
No, never, no.
No, don't know much about that.
It's good for them to get a race back. You know, initially they got, like I say, Courtney, the Americans got some momentum again. Courtney's, you know, won the race.
Absolutely.
They got two in the top 10 for America. And I think, you know, there was a time when there was some good American mountain bikers in men's and women's, and there was a real lull. I think it's good for the sport and the trade as well. So.
Same happened with Daniel, really. And yeah, the Americans are coming back strong now. So it's good to show their scene is working well. There's a lot of good races over in America.
Yeah.
Exciting to see. So we'll be back here next week. Thanks, Ollie, for that. Good chat.
Yeah, good to see you. Welcome.
Back next week for that round two of the cross country Novo Mesto. Don't forget, you can watch this on YouTube, of course. It's on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. So check it out. This is number 4 of the GMBN podcast.